So this might be my nerdiest episode yet, and that is quite a statement coming from me. So here we're going to be talking about what Star Trek taught me about innovation.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so how we got here is that I was thinking about Zoom meetings, and then I thought, you know, the original Zoom meeting was on Star Trek. And then I just did a little Google search, and about 4 years ago, it was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, and there was a rash of articles on the internet about Star Trek and the innovations that came from it. And I thought, you know, there's something really interesting here. So let's talk about that. So Star Trek, if you don't know, is a TV series, and there was a series of movies. It was supposed to be called Wagon Train to the Stars. And the reason for that is that in the 60s, Westerns were all the rage still in the 1950s and 1960s. But they mercifully renamed it Star Trek before it aired. So 50 years ago, well, actually 54 and change years ago, it aired on NBC. Okay, at any rate, so there are some technologies that we use today that have come from this. And I found a really interesting article. I found a number of articles, but the one I'm going to post below is about, it just lists a bunch of them and gives links to the sources. And I just want to go over those because it's kind of an interesting thought. So we use, for example, tablet computers all the time. Well, we first saw that on Star Trek. I mean, if you go back to 1966, we weren't even using a PC, like a laptop on or a desktop on every desk. I mean, that was kind of a stretch of an innovation at the time. So that they would walk around with a tablet computer was just, it's shocking, but we use it all the time. I have an iPad. My kids have Kindles. So we have these kind of technologies. Okay, second one. This is a little bit more far-fetched, but tractor beams. Okay, and by the way, if you've never watched Star Trek and you don't want to listen to the rest of the episode, perfectly all right. It's okay. You might just get lost in translation. But if you've watched Star Trek, and I watched a number of these. So when my sixth child was born, I decided I was going to do something useful while I was up late night. And, you know, sitting on parent duty so that my wife could sleep. I just decided I would binge watch all of the original Star Trek series. And then I recently watched the Picard series on CBS All Access. So it had my mind thinking about this. Okay, let me get back to this. So we use tablets. We use, we don't use tractor beams. But there are legitimate something, you know, in the process of tractor beams. And there was this really, they link to these different articles with each one of these. And there are scientists who have been able to move things with sound like a tractor beam. I don't know. I mean, obviously you're not moving it from a spaceship moving large objects, but the technology is actually something that they're working on. I don't know that we'll ever get to a point where it's like what you saw on Star Trek, but that was kind of interesting. Okay, tricorders. Now, this one was really interesting. I'm going to read this little bit from the linked article. In July, the Scandu Scout raised $1.37 million, way above its $100,000 target on crowdfunding platform Indiegogo. In the process, it became the highest-funded campaign in the site's history. What made it so attractive was its simplicity and the fact that nothing like it exists. The Scandu Scout promises to allow you to keep tabs on all yours or someone else's health, a small hockey puck-shaped device. It works through bodily contact. Hold it to your forehead and it displays via your smartphone your temperature, heart rate, blood pressure, and plenty more. And there are a lot of technologies that we have now that will actually do those kinds of things. I was looking at a commercial the other day where somebody's, you know, touching their fingers down on their iPhone and it's giving them heart rate and other monitoring biometrical kind of statistics. Okay, let's keep moving. Flip communicators and wearable badge communicators. So I thought it was the coolest thing in the 90s when I had a flip phone. It was kind of like something out of Star Trek, and I kind of miss my flip phone today. There are also wearable badge communicators like they would do in the Next Generation series where he would touch the badge and then he would instantly communicate. Google worked on a prototype. I'm sure there's other variations of that that have come out since. Hyposprays. Hyposprays are... if you watch the doctors on there, they wouldn't even like inject with a needle. They would just put something next to your neck or your arm and it would, be the injection. Well, there is actually something that is, it's so forcefully powered that it gets under the skin immediately and it apparently works. This is, and I'm not making this up either. This hypospray thing, I was reading the attached article and it links to MIT. MIT News in 2012, and their work, I don't know how effective they are or if they have made it any better or whatever, but they do have something that works like that. Replicators. So replicators were something like they would say, computer, make me a coffee. And it would instantly create the coffee in the coffee mug. Okay, so we're not quite to that point, but we do have a lot of 3D printers that can generate at least the coffee mug, and that's a pretty amazing thing. Cloaking devices. I saw something on this a number of years ago, and I thought, wow, that's really impressive. And what it was it's a thin, wearable material that would replicate what's around it or what's behind you or in your environment. The technology just isn't what you would think it would be, but it is impressive that they've been able to sort out what they've been able to sort out. It's a very, very primitive form of that technology, and I don't know that we'll ever get there, but who knows? We might. Voice interface computers. Now you carry one of these in your pocket and you say, hello, Siri. And that is essentially that technology. Another one is transparent aluminum. There is such a thing that exists. The transparent aluminum goes back to one of the Star Trek movies. I think the fourth one where it's saving a whale, whatever. So next one, Bluetooth headsets. You remember Lieutenant Uhura had this thing in her ear. And now remember, in 1966, everything had to be wired if you're going to listen to it. So that even had the foresight to think about something that would be wireless like that would be pretty impressive for that kind of technology. Google Glass we use today as a virtual display device, virtual reality kind of experience. Now this one's almost laughable, portable memory, which again, remember, in 1966, computers aren't what they were. I remember this comic of a man and his son. This was like 30 years ago, and it was kind of mocking, you know, computers have gotten smaller rather than larger. So it was kind of mocking that, you know, the thought that was prevalent before, where a man and his son are looking at a large computer and saying, yes, son, one day there will be whole buildings full of computers. And yes, there are farms like that. But what he was thinking was that as they get more powerful, they get bigger, where they actually went smaller. Okay, focus ultrasound technology. That's interesting. There are some medical experiments of actually healing with ultrasound. Like, you know, Dr. McCoy or whoever would hold something over the patient and heal them rather than cut them open and do whatever they need to do and close them up. And so that's pretty interesting. I already talked about biometric data tracking for health and even for identity, and we can do all kinds of things with that right now. GPS, we use GPS all the time, and it was something that, you know, we don't even think about now. Automatic doors that open just when you go to the supermarket and the automatic door works. Okay, big screen TVs, like the screen size that we saw in Star Trek were just, I mean, these were these huge screens. And what we were watching in the 1960s on our little TVs was so different that it was amazing. But I mean, it's so common now. Universal translators. Well, Google has a universal translator that can give you pretty much any language in about real time. Teleconferencing. So many people are now using Zoom meetings, and part of what triggered this was I was thinking, well, the original Zoom meeting was when Captain Kirk was talking about his computer on screen and they were just talking, right? Zoom meetings, that's essentially what it is. And we use it all the time and don't think about it. Visor, bionic eyes for the blind. There's actually research, and they've linked to this, where there's rats that have been able to pass a visual test, blind rats that have been able to pass visual tests with some kind of visor that would allow them to use electronic pulses to be able to see things. I don't know how advanced that technology is today. Diagnostic beds, those are used in hospitals for various things. And I mean, that technology will, I'm sure, grow. Now, the article concluded, the one that I'm going to link here, the article concluded with a few technologies we're waiting for, we'll probably not get to, but who knows. Warp drives, matter or antimatter power warp drives, transporters to beam me up. I kind of doubt that that one's going to work, but I didn't think all these others would work. Holodecks, that would be kind of cool to be able to create your own little environment, to, you know, whatever the environment is that you would like. A moneyless society, that would not be cool. That would be barbaric, actually, and a moneyless society has never been and never will work. Even if there wasn't money, there was some kind of medium of exchange in whatever society. And the Vulcan nerve pinch, that would be kind of fun to be able to do. I don't think that we're going to get to that one. But hey, listen, this was really interesting in thinking through all of these things. And, you know, Henry Ford, it's attributed to him. He didn't actually say this, but there's a phrase that has been kicked around in various forms that said, you know, whether you believe you can do a thing or not, you are right. And I've heard variants of that. It's attributed to Henry Ford. I can't find the actual phrase. A quote investigator says, we don't think this was really, but think about this. If you think you can achieve a thing, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right, because you self-limit. Okay, now I wanted to get to a bigger point here about, and Star Trek talking about all that was kind of fun, but I want to get to a bigger point about innovation, and that is this. Innovation happens for a reason. It's not an accident, right? We dreamed about these things with Star Trek, and then the reason that it came to bear was because people had enough room to experiment and to fail. And they tried different things and figured out what worked and what didn't work. And so we do have now the flip phone, which is now extinct or obsolete. We do have Zoom technology that will allow us to have that computer on screen kind of moment, right? We do have a lot of things because we experimented over time, and we had, you know, innovation doesn't happen because we say, go innovate. It happens because we create a culture where things are allowed to be tried, where it's okay to fail, where you're able to see what works and what doesn't work. And it happens in a culture, you know, they talked about the moneyless society, and you know, Star Trek leans kind of to the left. I mean, let's just be honest, right? The Ferengi are these bad, kind of mean, snaggletooth creatures that are all about capitalism. Ha 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 ha. Okay. But the Ferengi kind of have it right. It's only these kind of things will only really thoroughly develop and thrive in a capitalist society where we allow for that, where people can make bets on technologies that they think will be rewarded. And so, you know, if you want to have the seabed for these innovations to come to pass, you need the capitalist background or society that will allow it to thrive. And then you need managers that are willing to allow people to take risks. And that's where the leadership part comes in for you. You have to let your people take risks. You have to now make intelligent risks. I think at this point, going for the transporters, beam me up kind of thing is a little far-fetched, but make intelligent bets on people as they're working on technology. Support them, help them find the materials, clear out obstacles so that they can do what they're going to do. Okay, so I want to end this with the quotation for contemplation. That comes from Napoleon Hill. He said this, "Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve." Now, I'm not sure that I'm completely sold on that, but I will tell you this. If you think that something can be done and you can believe that it can become reality, I mean, you can really see how it can come to pass. I don't mean like, oh, I just believe enough. I don't mean that. I mean that you actually can see a way of getting there. You could probably make it happen. You know, I don't believe that I can fly by jumping in the air, but yeah, if we can think about a way to mimic the laws of physics in such a way that an airplane can take off and get into the air, sure. But somebody had to believe that, and somebody had to believe that before it was actually proven. So remember, innovation is a function of leadership. You have to create that environment where people can believe that and be persuaded that they can try, and even if they fail, that's okay. It's all right. We have to work at creating a safe space. I hate to use that term because, you know, but I want to swipe it from the protesting safe space. You have to provide a safe space for innovation. All right, that's all that I have today. Thank you for your time, and I hope that this episode was encouraging.